What's happening, everybody? On today's show, getting you set for the college football playoff semifinals happening today. We're going to talk all about the Georgia Bulldogs with our buddy Dan Matthews of the Chuck Oliver Show in Atlanta. He's down in Florida getting ready to cover the game, so we'll talk all about that with him and also give you some thoughts on Alabama and give you our picks. And, of course, we'll go around the conference. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. You know, earlier this week, we talked all about the Alabama-Cincinnati matchup with our buddy Luke Robinson from Locked On Bama. Now we switch gears and talk about the Georgia side of things as the Georgia Bulldogs get ready to take on the Michigan Wolverines. And nobody better than our buddy Dan Matthews from the Chuck Oliver Show. He is down in Florida, and he joins us right now. Dan, what's going on, man? How is the weather in Florida?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I am standing right now in the shade as I hear sticks playing in the background at the spot that I'm stopping off at to grab something to eat and a couple of drinks at. So life could be a lot worse as I stand on some sort of little canal waterway in this arena area here in Fort Lauderdale. So like I said, life's not bad.
Yeah, I was just down there for much of the summer. We've spent from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, and that whole area is just really, really nice. And, of course, Georgia taking on the Michigan Wolverines in the Orange Bowl down in Miami. We're starting to get closer to the game, Dan, and obviously we've heard some rumblings about some COVID issues and all that kind of stuff, but it sounds like all that's kind of settled down. And we also saw the Georgia Bulldogs officially, you know, put to rest any rumors about maybe JT Daniels going to play or whatever. It's the Stetson Bennett show. They've stood by Stetson Bennett all year. They've said Stetson Bennett will start the game. What are your expectations for Stetson Bennett? Because I didn't think he played all that terrible in the SEC championship game. I thought people criticized him maybe a little bit too much. Obviously made some mistakes with some turnovers, but I thought for the most part Stetson Bennett consistently got Georgia down into Bama's red zone. What do you make of Stetson Bennett? What are your expectations of him in this game?
Well, I mean, obviously they feel like he is the guy for this team that gives them the best chance to win. Kirby Smart said it, and Todd Monken said it yesterday as well. I think one thing, though, that was really interesting about something Kirby Smart said today, where it really was twofold, is he was asked, would JT Daniels have a role in this game? And he said, if the situation dictates, and also to his health. I guess that's the other part of this as well. Has JT Daniels just been banged up and never really healed up? Is that part of it? And then just, you know, they're not talking about it because teams don't talk about injuries. But also, too, is that another reason why we haven't seen him since the Vanderbilt game in meaningful playing time? So it does sound like it's going to be Stetson Bennett. And he's been getting a couple of huge votes of confidence from both of those coaches, as well as Todd Monken emphatically yesterday, as a matter of fact, saying that he is a national championship quarterback, that they can win with him, and he's made national championship plays this season. So it sounds like no matter what, they're going to ride with number 13 and stay with them the whole way, whether Georgia fans or some of the media like it or not. We'll see exactly how it all plays out.
Is it as simple to say, Dan? I mean, obviously they're going to have to be balanced, but, you know, it's got to be a good 50-50 balance of the run game and the passing game. I mean, if Michigan is stuffing the run and taking that away from Georgia, I mean, I guess I do side with some people that question, can Stetson Bennett be the playmaker to lead them a full game? I guess in a perfect world, though, it would be a 50-50 balance, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that that's what they have to do. In the SEC championship game, I don't think necessarily that it was that they couldn't run the ball. I think they just weren't as committed to it. And I understand people can say, well, they were down 17 points or whatever they were at certain points of the game. there were times in that game where, yeah, maybe they were down by more than one score, that they still probably could have been committed to the run and really stayed with it. They didn't run it as well as they have in other games this season. I think a big credit of that has to go to what Pete Golding and Alabama's defensive front were able to do in that game in order to get them to feel like that wasn't going to be an effective part of their offense in that game. But there's no doubt. You've got to be able to try to neutralize David Ojabo and also Aiden Hutchinson as best as you can. And when you've got two standout pass rushers like Michigan does, and you're putting them in passing situations, more often than not, I don't care how good Georgia's offensive line is, which they played pretty well this season, you're going to be in for some long battles. So I think that it is pretty imperative for them to be able to try and do their best to be as balanced as possible. And that's a dangerous word around here, Chris, because, you know, there's the perception that Kirby Smart is a few things with the offense. That, number one, he's rigid in terms of accepting change to the offense. And the other part of it as well is that, you know, him talking about balance, and people are like, yeah, right, balance. You just want to be boring, and you want to control the football and run the football and do all that. And so, you know, we'll see exactly what tone they're able to strike in this game. But if it's anything like they had against Alabama, I think they could be in trouble.
More with Dan Matthews right after this. I want to touch on the defensive side of things in just a second, Dan. Stay right there. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. If you want to see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. That's LOCKED. Head to netsuite.com. That's NetSuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/locked. Continuing on here on Locked On SEC, getting you ready for the big semifinal games later today. Of course, Alabama taking on Cincinnati in the nightcap. Over in Miami, we get Georgia versus Michigan, and our buddy Dan Matthews from 680 The Fan in Atlanta joins us now. He is in the Miami area. Dan, we talked about the offensive side of things. What about the defensive side of things? First and foremost, I thought it was weird when Dan Lanning was announced as the Oregon coach. They were kind of like, yeah, he'll be around here, but, well, Muschamp's going to pick up some of the duties and all this. And then this week we kind of heard, no, Dan Lanning is in charge and he's running the defense. How is this dynamic going to work?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, I think that to your point right there, I almost kind of wonder if initially Kirby Smart was kind of trying to take the responsibilities off his plate because of what happened with him in 2015. Remember, you know, Kirby Smart had taken the Georgia job and was balancing both the Alabama defensive coordinator job and also trying to start his tenure at Georgia with recruiting and hiring staff and doing all the things that he was going to be needing to do in order to get ready for the 2016 season. And people thought that the defensive performance kind of slipped a little bit for Alabama in the national championship game. So I almost kind of wonder if Kirby himself had a conversation with Dan and said, hey, look, I know how it is. You are going to have enough on your plate in terms of getting ready for your next job. Why don't we go ahead and help you out? And maybe initially it was all right, you know what, you're probably right. But I also wonder, too, as well, in the digital world that we're living in right now, where you can do so many things on Zoom or by phone, whatever it might be, if Dan Lanning, after that, went back to Kirby Smart and said, you know what, I think I can do this. I think I got this. So, he said it himself earlier this week when he talked with the media. And you know, your surprise was a lot of people's surprise of, huh, that's kind of interesting. You know, I thought that you were going to be here, yes, helping out. But at the same time, though, too, it was going to be mostly a Will Muschamp and Glenn Schumann show. So We'll see. I mean, as far as we know, that is the dynamic in terms of the defensive coordinator spot. It's going to be co-DCs for Georgia going forward with a really bright young coach and inside linebackers coach Glenn Schumann, and also, too, somebody who has a huge pedigree of successful defenses in Will Muschamp. So it's going to be interesting to see how it does going forward. But as of right now, looks like they're going to stay with Dan Lanning calling the plays.
How does this group respond, Dan, from, I mean, you know, run up and down the roster, big Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, Jalen Carter, N'Kobe Dean. I mean, it's one big name after another. How do they respond from as bad as they were against Alabama? Let's face it, they played their worst game defensively of the year against Alabama. How do they respond against this Michigan team that likes to run it, likes to throw it? I got to think they're going to want to come out and establish themselves early and show they were that dominant force like they were all season and not the group we saw a couple weeks ago in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'd absolutely. I mean, I think let's just start with Jordan Davis. I would think he's got to be pretty embarrassed. I mean, if you follow Twitter, there were people who were pointing out, look at this effort, look at how he's playing, all these different types of things. Now I understand a lot of snaps he was on the field. Bill O'Brien and Alabama were going, they were going hurry up, they were going pace. So that kind of cut into it a little bit. But I would have to think if you're on that Georgia defense and after all year being told how great you are and showing how great you are, that it was a huge kick to the pride. I there's no other way to say it. I mean, they got pretty embarrassed in that game against Alabama. So they've had a month to sit on that. They've had a month to probably watch that film almost a million times and now try to get out here and prove a point against Michigan in the college football playoff. Because here's the thing I think we know about college football is that people are down on you after a rough performance and a loss. It's very easy to get them back if you're able to bounce back and have a huge win. And if they're able to bounce back, have a huge win, have a strong, dominating defensive performance, all of a sudden, you would think heading into Indianapolis that people are saying, maybe we wrote off Georgia's defense a little too early. So the motivation is there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. How they respond, I guess we're going to have to try to find out on Friday evening.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the matchups here, and I'll get your take on the predictions in just a second, but, you know, everybody's kind of predicting we get an SEC championship game rematch in the championship with Georgia and Alabama, and of course these two played in the national championship just a couple years ago, but it's kind of funny to look at the other side of things. If Michigan were to upset Georgia, if they played Alabama, it would be a rematch of the Citrus Bowl from just 2 years ago. If Cincinnati pulls off the upset on Alabama and they play Georgia, it would be a rematch of the Peach Bowl just a year, Chick-fil-A Bowl last year. So it's, you know, either way, we're getting a rematch of some matchups unless, you know, both SEC teams lose and we get Cincinnati versus Michigan, and I don't see that happening. But let me get your thought, predictions for the games. We'll start first with Alabama-Cincinnati. How do you see this one playing out?
I think that Alabama just found something offensively in the last game and are going to be able to ride with Jameson Williams. Now, I think the other part of it as well, do you get Jahlil Billingsley to step up? Cameron Latu, do you get him to step up? Do you get Slade Bolden? Other parts of that Alabama offense, and also, too, people I've talked with that cover Alabama have said that it looks like Brian Robinson Jr. is healthy after it sounded like he had, I believe, a banged-up ankle heading into that SEC championship game, and he was still able to run the ball decently enough. So you get those guys going. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Alabama is a more talented team than Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a good football team. They played incredibly well all season long. They deserve to be in the college football playoff, but I think that it's kind of like what Kirby Smart said about not being able to out-coach talent. I don't even know if you can out-coach their coach because Nick Saban is known as being one of the best for a reason. So the coaching and the talent, I think, went out for Alabama. I think Bama wins this one. I'm going to go ahead and go with 41-13. I think Bama has a pretty easy day, and Bryce Young is able to continue rolling along like he has.
All right, how about Georgia-Michigan?
I think it's going to be a really tightly contested game. I think that Michigan is incredibly motivated because really pretty much nobody have given them a shot in this game. And Georgia also, too, defensively, like we just talked about, they're going to want to try to bounce back. And then also, too, I think even the quarterback, I think Stetson Bennett wants to bounce back. And I think this Georgia offense wants to bounce back in how they played in those two crucial three and outs, and then also the pick six that ended up being the difference in the SEC championship game. I think that Georgia is able to rise to the challenge in this one. I'm going to go Georgia 24-16. I think that is just under the number, if I'm not mistaken. Those hooks will get you sometimes. So I think that Georgia is able to win a tightly contested game. I just think that they're a little bit more talented than Michigan. And also, too, I just think that the motivation factor is a little bit more for Georgia when you're a more talented football team. I think that I like Georgia's chances.
Defensive battle. I love it. Dan Matthews, 680, The Fan, executive producer for the Chuck Oliver Show in Atlanta. Dan, appreciate the time as always, and don't get a suntan while you're down in Miami, all right?
Or do, you know? I mean, I think that the base definitely needs to come in a little bit. I need to probably get a little bit of the freckles going and try to get a jump start on the spring and summer months.
Great stuff, man. Appreciate the time.
Always good, buddy.
All right, Dan Matthews there. Follow him on Twitter, at DanMatthewsATL on Twitter. That's Matthews with one T. Of course, first, it is the new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. If you're about getting fit or eating healthier, you want to make sure that you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Many of the Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs, 17 grams of protein. You compare that to a candy bar, which is double the calories, 30 grams of sugar, a dozen of net carbs. And here's an idea for you getting into the new season. If you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. And there's so many flavors to choose from the coconut almond to the peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors. So you want to check out their website, built.com, often to see what is new. And speaking of their website, you want to go there right now, go to built.com. If you've never ordered from them before, use our promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use our promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off at built.com. Go check them out today. Get your New Year's resolutions going.